Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Ladies and gentlemen, today is the 24th of the 4th month, 2025. It is a Thursday evening and you are joined by yours truly, the one, the only, the Matriarch. Ladies and gentlemen, this week or for the past few days, we've been covering emotional abuse because I believe that, when we talk about emotional abuse is like the stepchild of abuse. It's like the one, it's like the third wheel in the relationship. It's like the person that you bring along plus one, but it's not really because this person actually belongs. It's just because you got an extra free slot and somebody else said that they don't want to come. And then you're like, okay, fine. You emotional abuse, you can come with. I think that because it is not as visible as financial abuse, it's not as visible as physical abuse, it is something that is not really looked at with a great sense of importance, but it is more detrimental than any other abuse because it messes with the psyche. Now, if you mess with somebody's brain, if you mess with somebody's emotions, there is a lot that can happen. So much can happen. So much can happen. If you don't believe me, right? Then look at situations within GBV. I know that we are looking at physical violence when it comes to like a deep hardcore GBV. Not that other things are not hardcore, but you know, deep hardcore GBV. We're looking at physical violence. We're looking at stabbing one another. We're looking at beating one another. We're looking at that, right? But picture this, that Nobody just jumps up and decides to kill somebody. Nobody jumps up and decides that they're going to be beating somebody. Nobody jumps up and says that, you know what? I just feel like I want to take somebody's eye out and then just chew it. Nobody ever feels like that. So there must be an elephant in the room. The problem is that we don't acknowledge the elephant and we don't see the elephant and we don't want to acknowledge its existence or its presence or the mere fact that it is here. We don't really want to see it. But emotional abuse is at the forefront of any other abuse. It is at the forefront of anything. It is there. Anything bad, it is there. It's only that it's so silent, it's so sly, it's so invisible that we can't go to the police station and say that, yo, so, I want to get my partner arrested for emotional abuse. You know, you can, but how many of us are actually willing to do that? How many of us are actually willing to go through a whole entire lawsuit and a whole entire case and a whole entire court every day? How many of us are actually willing to go through all of that for emotional abuse? Many people say that, no man, I'll just heal. I'll just let it go. It's nothing. And then later on, you are sitting with torment and trauma and you're sitting with nightmares and you're sitting with all this shame and all this guilt and you are within your thoughts. And part of it is that your self-esteem has been so diminished. Your self-confidence has been so cut up and grinded into small fine pieces that you can't recognize it, and even if you could recognize it, you can't piece it back together because, I mean, powder is powder. If you once were solid and you become powder, it is almost as saying that is dead to me. There's a difference between a mirror cracking, a teapot cracking, and somebody grinding you into powder. There is a difference because the other two, they can be mend. We can still see pieces of ourselves in a broken mirror. We can still mend a broken cup and maybe find a way to drink out of it. Even though we have to drink a little bit faster because some holes have not been filled, we can still get some substance. But grind it, ladies and gentlemen. Dust it. Now that's something else. Imagine if you were a solid and somebody just came and blended you all up. How would we know which part goes where? Do you become a smoothie then? That is exactly what we're talking about. So we're talking about emotional abuse, and we're talking about signs and telltale warnings. And maybe you are the abuser. Maybe you are being abused. Maybe your neighbor, maybe your mom, maybe your cousin, maybe your brother, maybe your father, maybe your grandfather. We're just putting these points out, and we're trying to find a way to relate to it, or to actually just know how to identify it. And when somebody does it, we can catch them on their tracks. You know, we can catch them on their tracks. We can nip it in the bum now. We can de-root it now, but we can't de-root something that we don't know. We can't fight an opponent that we don't know. We have to master our opponent in order for us to go to battle properly. Because if you don't know that the other army has nuclear weapons and you are going in your Shaka Zulu mode, brah, we are probably going to have to, you know, assassinate the guy that comes back and comes and tells us, because we are going to be like, yeah, but why did they let you go? You know, because it's just not, it's a nuclear bomb. Ah, no. Hey, bazookas and AKs, and you guys are going in your Shaka Zulu. You can't bring a knife to a gunfight. That is exactly what we're saying. Not unless you're up close and you didn't know that there was a gun, but okay. So we're talking about emotional abuse simply because we can, simply because it is something that I've been thinking about. I've been thinking about it of late, and I've been placing it into the society that we live in. And I'm really honestly wondering how many of us are unintentional abusers. How many of us are living in shadows of pasts that we didn't even know were traumatic, that we didn't even know were shadowing us? We didn't know. And now we are doing everything on the checklist that the matriarch is talking about, and we feel kind of terrible. We're like, yeah, nah. Yeah, nah, but that's was reflection. That's self-awareness, right? We are trying to get to know ourselves a little better, and we're trying to go through life, trying to be good people, trying to leave our mark, trying to leave legacies of righteousness, of goodness, trying to teach lessons to little people that didn't ask to be here, but we brought them here anyways, and we are trying to make amends, and we are trying to do a 360. We're trying to change so that the next generation doesn't have to go through our emotional BS moss. So we're trying to change. So we listen, we don't judge. We listen and we just take it in, we grasp it, we take it in. But one thing that we are also doing is comprehending. We are comprehending and understanding that it's not everything that is our fault. It's not everything that's intentional. It's everything that's not our fault. Some things are really honestly our fault. Some things are a lack of wanting to really go deep within yourself. Nobody really honestly has the time to be thinking about themselves constantly. We've got work, we've got kids, we've got assignments, we've got books, we've got this whole life plan that we have in front of us, and nobody really has the time to go, okay, let me go and do some shadow self-healing. Let me go into my mind and go and think about why I do the things I do and how I can change this. It's very difficult. Most of us only change when we are faced with a situation that requires change. And usually when we change and when we evolve is after being pushed into a corner. Nobody wakes up and thinks that, oh, you know what? My life is perfect. I'm going to change. Nobody. But be faced with a life and death situation, then you will change. And also sometimes we make empty promises in those kinds of situations. But there are also situations such as, Maybe you have to look within yourself, because your partner is getting a divorce and they are living, and it is because you are like this, and you're like, but how am I like this? That is when you are forced to look within yourself. And most of the times you have no idea how to go about it. And sometimes, right, your partner doesn't have the correct words to describe what you are doing wrong. So you come to the matriarch and you listen to this conversation. conversation about emotional abuse and you're like, okay, so let me just follow it. She speaks nice. I like her voice. And she's kind of funny, so it's cool. It's not irritating. It's better than the kids screaming in the house. So let me sit in the car and just listen to this. And as we are taking off and as we are talking and as we are talking about the screaming and the yelling and the swear words, we're talking about character assassination. We're talking about isolation. We're talking about uncomfortable. We're talking about emotional dissatisfaction. We're talking about dismissiveness. We're talking about all these things, and all these things are ringing bells. Bells, 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 bells. But your partner never said this. Your partner just said that they're tired. They're done. They're leaving. I'm done with this. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not doing this anymore, Mateus. I'm not. And that's all she said. So you're like, okay, so maybe this is the problem. But when we're talking about it, it's being ticked off in your brain. It's being ticked off in your brain. It's being ticked off in your brain. And slowly but surely, you're becoming a little good at it. You're becoming a little good at comprehension. You're becoming a little good at listening to what is being said so that you can comprehend, so that maybe, just maybe, you can change. Because you love the woman. You love the man. You love the job. You love the colleagues. You love the relationships that you have caused or you have forged along the way. You love these relationships. You love the life that you are having, right? And you don't want this to change, and you don't want this to go away. But change is now required. Now, this change can only happen after acknowledgement. We have to acknowledge. We have to acknowledge. Okay, there is now this thin line that lays within people that acknowledge. Now, acknowledgement is wonderful. It's beautiful. It's great. Especially when you come forward and you say, you know what, matriarch, I think I got a problem, man. Like, yeah, I think I've got this issue. Like, yeah, that's great. Like, ooh. Acknowledgement. We like this. We're going to give you a round of applause. We're going to give you praise. We're going to give you all the accolades and all the trophies and medals and medallions that you may need in order for you to carry on this path, right? Because acknowledgement is beautiful. But one thing that I've noticed with all of us, and when I say all of us, ladies and gentlemen, I include myself because this is a journey. I include myself because I want to have true transparency, because I cannot help if I am hiding, if I am not transparent. So when I say all of us, I mean all of us. So that pedestal that you might have put me on, that little, oh, gold star that you have given me, take it off. Take it off. We are in the same boat. We are here, not understanding. We are all together here. And now you want to put me like, oh, this one, Okushishi, bruh. I wouldn't be talking about these things if I wasn't going through these things also. At one avenue in my life where it's just like, ay, Oshonga, Mamzela, ay, Oshonga. No. We're talking about it. So we love acknowledgement, right? We love this acknowledgement thing because we are taught and we are told that you just have to acknowledge. You have to acknowledge the fact that you've got a problem. You have to acknowledge the fact that there is something wrong here. You have to acknowledge that there's a demon in your house, bruh. You have to acknowledge that nobody in your family is married. You have to acknowledge that there are generational curses. You have to acknowledge that there's somebody that's sitting on top of you. You have to acknowledge these things. Now, then what? So many of us are here at acknowledgement, and then there is this little thin line that is there before we move into the next step, which is now you get into the mojo of things. You start to change things. You acknowledge first, and then you identify, and then you move on. You know, it's the whole steps, the whole 12 steps. If you are in AA, it's the whole 12 steps. You gotta work the steps. I acknowledge that I am powerless. I am powerless towards my addiction. We all do this, you know. I acknowledge. I know. There is the I know, and then we have I know, but so what? That's the thin line. I know, but so what? We have all the answers. There's nobody that is going to come from outside to come and tell you the answers of your life, friends. Nobody. Not even me. And, you know, I literally pride myself in this because I can give you all the answers. I can give you as straight as it comes. I can give you the answers. I can solve your problems. I can solve your life now. Life coach vibes. But I can tell you now that 90% of anything that anyone is ever going to tell you is something that you have thought of already. It's something that you have looked at already. It's something that you know already. Sometimes we need the extra push from somebody else's words because they put it in a better light. They put it in a better sense. They put it in a better visuals and better aesthetics, you know. They put it in a better way. And that's why you can grasp it. That's why you can listen to it. Your mother can tell you the same thing and you don't hear her. And then the matriarch, a stranger from the streets, comes and tells you exactly what your mother has been telling you for 10 years. And all of a sudden it hits. And all of a sudden you got it. And all of a sudden there is comprehension. It's because some people we block out and some people we are open to receiving information from them. And part of receiving information from them is also from ourselves. We block ourselves out because of our own thoughts that we have towards ourselves. So now if you are thinking, and you know, with the study of Carl Jung, right? Like I've been diving into his study and when I'm looking at the shadow, right, I understand why people don't believe themselves. I understand why people don't listen to themselves. I understand why we know all the answers, but we are waiting for somebody that we actually believe to come and tell us these answers so that we can do it. It's because you know yourself. You know that you're nasty. You know that you're nasty. You know. So you don't believe anything that you say. Whether it's good, whether it's bad, you don't believe anything that you say. And that's why you know everything. You know everything it takes to get to the places where you want to get. You're looking at other people graduating, you know. Kudos to Ndina. Our baby is graduating tomorrow. She is going to be wearing her mother's gown. I am a proud mommy. Hello. But you're looking at other people graduating and you get this sense of envy and jealousy, or it's like a rush. So you don't want to name it anything because, I mean, you don't want to classify yourself as a jealous person. Like, why are you jealous of other people's achievements? Like, no, I'm not a jealous person. But it is feeling that comes. It's like a flood. It's like a flood of heat. When you see somebody achieving something that you know that you're capable of achieving as well, and you see them achieving this, and then there's this flood that comes and then it hits you, but it's like a 5 second thing, and then you kind of soothe yourself quickly because you can't stay in that space because you're going to go crazy in that space, but you feel it nonetheless. So you have the answers, right? You have the answers. Like literally, okay, then I should, if I'm so jealous of people's degrees, then why don't I just go to school? You know? And because you have told yourself all these little lies around your own situation, you've told yourself these little lies that, oh, everybody that could ever help me is dead. They died of COVID. And also I don't have enough points. And also I live very far. And the thing I want to study is in Windhoek. You've told yourself all these lies, right? But you also know the truth that, hey guys, where there's a will, there's a way. Where there's a will, there's always a way. You can always make a way. Where there's a will, there's always a way. Even if it's not the way this year, it might be the way next year if it's something that you really want. But you don't tell yourself that. You keep quiet and then you just grovel in the jealousy, and then you are the internet warrior with your bad grammar, your bad grammar and your bad spelling, because also it's been rough and you haven't really read a book about anything lately or even an article long enough for you to comprehend it. And now you're just out here just bashing everybody. It's just the paper. It's just the paper. It's not just the paper, because if it was just the paper, you wouldn't be feeling the way that you're feeling. Let's address the elephant in the room with your green envy. Yeah. But the truth is that you can just also go. Like, UNAM is there, IUM is there, Valvicha is there. Can just go. Can just go and study and also just get your paper. It's not a problem. You can literally just move mountains. It's not that deep. It's not rocket science. Other people that come from poor households are also there. Other people that didn't pass A level or grade 10 or grade what, they also just went. There's always a way. If you're 25 years old and above, my dear, and you've been working as a cashier, what, you just go to UNAM, you go and get a mature age, and then you apply, you go and write what, and bam, you're in. Then what? But you don't want that. Because that looks like too much work. So you'd rather be bashing people, and then every single time graduation season comes, you are bashing the internet. Or better yet, if you are those nice people, you decide that you're not going to buy data for 2 weeks so that people can finish graduating. And then you guys can go back to being the same, right? Because it has simmered down. But people make most nice graduation pictures, their profile pictures, so it kind of still hits you. But okay, you keep quiet about it. But the moral of the conversation, or the moral of what I'm saying here, is the fact that deep down inside, what is really hurting you, what is really, really, really the bane of your existence, what is really, honestly, your biggest hurdle, is the fact that you don't think that you're worthy. You don't think that you are enough. You don't think you are as beautiful. You don't think you are as smart. You don't think that you are as achieved. You don't think that you are capable of achieving it. And that is why there's no movement. That is why there's no progress. That is why you can stomp on everybody's parade. That's why nothing makes you happy. So tomorrow I'm awarded the tender, and you're like, yeah, but that matriarch, what does she even know? She just works on radio all of the sudden. But you've been a fan. Like, yeah, nah. You've been a fan. But it's low key because of you and how you feel. So it's your self-esteem issues. It's your confidence issues. Maybe you have suffered by the hand of emotional abuse. Maybe it was pointed out day by day that you are not worthy, until eventually one day you started believing it. And then you believed it so much so that this unworthy behavior, it creeps in. It creeps in even in shadows and places that you'd never thought it could creep in, but it's there. It's lingering and hovering all over your shoulders. It's peeping into your phone. Every little joke that you make, it's a joke about you. So you start with self-mockery, and then you start mocking others. Because, I mean, that's all you know. Because this is where you came from. This is when you broke, because somebody broke you along the way. And we can't fix that, because Osho Ara Eri, they're just like that. Then we live in that life, Moss. Now we live in that life, and we are so tormented by our own insecurities. And these insecurities are not insecurities that you were born with. It's somebody that drilled them in you. But then the thing is that you're kind of too old to still be blaming parents. And to be honest, your parents never called you ugly, boo. To be honest. Your parents never said that you can't achieve anything. If anything, they've always wanted you to achieve. So then the card or the mask of the parents being abandonment issues, and the parents are what, and the parents are what, all of this goes away. Why does it go away? Because we don't want to shift blame to where the blame is actually. So maybe, just maybe, the traumas that we are healing from is not only our childhood, because I don't think that every single ordeal just comes from childhood. I think there are things that hurt so deep in our adult lives that we can't shake it off, and it has made us who we are. Because if we are thinking that, oh my goodness, this guy just becomes a harlot overnight, this guy just becomes a player overnight, this guy just becomes a sex addict overnight, because most probably where he came from, he didn't get love, and then he just decided, my dear, a child does not associate sexual activities with him being the one that he sent kusita every day. No. It must have been a girl somewhere. It must have been somewhere, somehow. Within the life that you have lived, somewhere, along the way. a shadow was formed. And this shadow now lingers. And we are like, okay, so rejection. Yeah, I just feel like, yeah, I was always rejected as a child. Were you really rejected as a child? Or is it just that you don't know when you were really rejected, or you blocked out when rejection actually came and hit you, and you don't know when you were rejected? You know you feel it, you know it's there, but you don't know where the cause of it was. You don't know where it all started. You don't know where the pain all started. You could have said it is from Lizette, you know, the one that dumped you. But it just could have been that self-rejection that you gave yourself when you were looking at some girl in class, and because you couldn't approach, you redefined it as rejection. And now that you are in a position to approach, you want to approach as many as humanly possible, and all of them look the same as the girl that didn't actually reject you. You never asked her out. And you don't know what it did to you, because now you kind of messed up. Because I don't know. Holy parawa fatoli mokana. I don't know, man. I don't know. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the number in studio is 083-288-401. It's 083-288-401. So maybe, just maybe, let's talk about it. We are our biggest critics. We say this all the time here at Pulling Heartstrings, because we're tougher on ourselves than we could ever be on anybody else. We are tough, 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 tough. We are indirectly, we are directly, we are around, we are holistically, we are underneath, we are above. We are our biggest critics. Even if you don't say it out loud that you think that you're ugly, everything that you do resembles somebody that thinks that they're ugly. And you carry out this action, you execute this action, and you still have the audacity to stand up and say that I think I'm very attractive. You say such things because maybe, just maybe, if you hear it many times, then maybe you will start to believe it. But truly, maybe, just maybe, we have to look at it. Let's look at it, ladies and gentlemen. So when we are talking about emotional abuse, we're talking about torment, right? We're talking about emotional torment. We're talking about an abuse that lingers within our minds. It lingers within our minds because it creates thoughts, illusions. It also creates dialogue within ourselves. It's like a whole monologue that's happening. Dialogue is two people, right? It's a whole monologue that's happening, but the presenter of the monologue is somebody that is a critic. So nothing good ever really comes out of it, because you keep questioning, but you can't question when you are not the initiator of the answer. When you are not the bearer of the question either. You just keep questioning the question. You keep questioning the sayings. You keep questioning everything. But you sit in it. Because, for example, like with character assassination, right? Those are part of the symptoms of emotional abuse. And that one hangs or lingers under humiliation and criticism, right? Because we spoke about the first one being isolation, then the second one being humiliation and criticism, where we have covered an avenue of what lingers under humiliation and criticism. Because isolation in itself is quite frank, but it happens in different ways. So when we talk about character assassination, for example, because this was a conversation that we had with a caller last night. Now, you, that character is being assassinated. Somebody calls you, calls you something that you are not. It's not part of your character. Somebody says that you never do things correctly, or you never do work correctly. So now what happens within your mind is that you go and think about it. You go and think about it. But you're not thinking about it like, oh, I wonder why Matriarch actually said that. No. Mm-mm. You go and think about it in the worst way possible. You go and think about it like it's true. Like, do I really just mess up everything? Like, but I don't mess up everything. Do I mess up everything? You ask yourself these questions because, I mean, you want to know. And I mean, it's your life. You want to know, is this how people view you? And why would he say this in front of the boss? And. Now, if you are asking yourself all these questions, who's going to answer? It's most the voice within. So you are giving the questions and you're answering yourself. And if you are already a critic of yourself, how do you think the answer is going to be? It's not going to be nice. So there's this in denial of the magnitude of what is wrong. So we acknowledge that there is a problem. But what we don't acknowledge is how big the problem is, how messed up the problem is, how much it's ruining our lives, how much it's taking from us, and how many lives are being affected in a negative way because of this problem. So now we are ticking off and you realize that I am emotionally abusive. You acknowledge it and you go to wife and then you say there that, baby, so I've been doing some introspection and I've been doing a little bit of healing, and I've noticed and outlined that I may be, or I think I am, emotionally abusive. Now, wife already gets happy because, I mean, you did the first step, right? You did the first step. You acknowledged. You acknowledged that, oh my goodness, this elephant in the room that I've been talking about this whole time, this man finally gets it. And you're like, wow. Yeah. But now, the problem is that you don't realize how much damage it has done and how damaging it is. So you're just stuck there at acknowledgement, and then you try and change. Like, how do you try and change when you don't know how big it is, how small it is, how wide it has reached, and how the rivers of this thing have flown? There are rivers like the Nile that go all the way, crossing borders into countries, and they ride. There are falls like Vic Falls that meets a circle of countries. It's the only place where four countries meet, and that is a body of water falling down rocks. But at what speed? And what's happening to the rocks? And what is happening to the vegetation and the life that is inside this water? That is what we have to do, ladies and gentlemen. We have to acknowledge the magnitude of the problem. We acknowledge that we have a problem. We acknowledge that this is a problem. We acknowledge that it has the potential to ruin everything, to touch everything, to go wild, right? Like a wildfire. Every time I see a fireman, I almost said a fire guy. Every time I see a fireman, I always think about fires that are just unstoppable. Infernos that are unstoppable. I always think of that, and I always think of the day that fire engulfs them. So sometimes I look at them and I think that what you're doing is admirable. Keep up the good fight. And I hope you never fight a fire that's bigger than you. Because we know what fire does. So what we need to do is acknowledge. We need to know exactly what happens with this thing that we have acknowledged, right? Let's see exactly what happens. So now if we are talking about emotional abuse and what happens, right? What happens is that you isolate somebody from their families. Right? The first one. You isolate somebody from their families and their friends, and that means that they are completely alone and dependent on you. You might like this, but is that your life as well? Because you still talk to your cousins, your sisters, your mother, you still have a family and everybody, but now you take this away by isolating them. That's the magnitude of it. Then we talk about the things like humiliation and criticism, and you ask yourself, yo, when somebody patronizes me, so I'm patronizing this person. What happens when somebody is patronized? They are belittled, you know? They are betrayed, and they are made to feel small. So every single day of my existence as a person, I am making the person that I claim to love, or the person that I claim to admire, the person that I want to be in a space with, I make them feel this way. Every single time I yell, I intimidate them. I swear at them and I scream at them. And even though I'm not hitting them, right? I might not be hitting them right now, right? I'm scaring them. So I'm basically scaring the person that I say that I love all the time. I'm assassinating their character. I'm making people believe things about them that is not true. And I claim to love. Then you get to a point of, I'm publicly embarrassing this person. So tomorrow this person is not even capable of walking with a head held high because I have diminished every single ounce of cloud that they could possibly have because I've embarrassed them to the highest ascendance. And then you say that this is love. You say that this is admiration. You say that this is respect. How? You say, look at yourself and you ask yourself, so I dismiss somebody. And with dismissal, right? We have to always go deeper. We always have to go back to the beginning because most of these things are not done just like that. Not unless you are a sociopath or psychopath, narcissist, or you are something that is deadly and comes out of the earth's where we most probably have to first water you down and first incubate you and then restore you, right? Because change is possible. Everybody is capable of change. They just have to want it. So you look at all these things that you do as a person and you're doing it to somebody that you say that is the center of your universe. You're doing it to your children, your flesh and blood. You're doing it to co-workers, people that are supposed to make your money with you. Because look, if you are emotionally abusing somebody at work, you do realize that this is messing with your own money, right? Because when they don't perform, the company takes a dip. It's a collective. The company takes a dip. Even if you're working for government, because you government employees, you guys look at things like, yeah, but that's HR. There's nothing to do with us, HR. Hey, you think that it has nothing to do until HR mistakenly employs somebody that's a tyrant. And this tyrant has to come and be dealing with you. And you are now stuck with a tyrant and you have no idea how this tyrant came about. But it's because you have tormented HR so much that they couldn't focus through the vetting process. And then they put a danger in the house. And the worst part is that this danger is allocated to your office. And now you are sitting with a leech, a vampire. You are sitting with a tyrant. And you don't know how it came about, but it's because of how you treat people. It's a circle of life, Moss. Yeah? Lion King. It's a circle of life, Moss. So today we are moving to shame and control. Abusive behavior relates to the desire to maintain power and control. Someone abusing you might attempt to manipulate you into doing what they want you to do, often by making you feel ashamed of your inadequacies. Now, inadequacies, right, is not being enough. And I always say that being a parent is feeling inadequate every single day. If you really love your children, you feel inadequate every single day because you always want more for them. You wish you could go to UNAM on your child's behalf so that your child can have that degree. You wish you could just go to Natus for your child and then they can have the driving license. You wish you could just put them in the best school in the whole world so that they can have the best education, so that they can be the best versions of themselves. You wish you could put them in the best soccer team so that they can do the best soccering that there is and they can be at the best, at the top. You wish that. But because it doesn't work like that, and we will always want more, even if you did get that, Yale and that Harvard, even if you did get that, right? You're still wishing for more. Like, oh, I wish my child would just own a multi-billion company. You always want more. It's like you are a fiend. You are a fiend for more for your children. And that is why you always feel inadequate, because you can buy your child the latest Jordans, but the minute you see the new ones that are coming out, and you know you can't afford them, makes you feel inadequate instantly. Like, oh, I wish I could. When you see other people driving kids to school and you are walking, you're like, oh, I wish I could. Inadequacy. That is what being a parent is. Being a real parent is feeling inadequate, that you just wish more. And by this, you can also say that you feel like you could do more and you are not enough. So being at the hospital bed with your child, it's not enough. You wish you could take the pain away for your child, because I mean, you know, you're supposed, that's what you're supposed to do, apparently. But those are all illusions. But anyhow, so we said that abusive behavior relates to the desire to maintain power and control. Someone abusing you might attempt to manipulate you into doing what they want you to do, often by making you feel ashamed of your inadequacies. So the things that you are feeling like you're not enough of, like, I'm not beautiful, I'm insecure, I'm not as smart, I'm not as fast, I'm not as dark, I'm not as light, I'm not as tall, I'm not as, they make you feel ashamed for those things. So these things, like, you have a big nose, right? And then somebody would make you feel ashamed for having a big nose. Like you don't live in America and you don't have that kind of money to just go for a nose job. So you have to live with your African nose. But also, even if you could, you would most probably die, because Africans are made with a larger frame because of ventilation purposes. Now you want a kancane nose, and it's just not made for Africa. So it's health complications also, but you don't think like that because somebody is making you feel ashamed of your big nose every day. Somebody is making you feel ashamed of your four fingers every day. Somebody is making you feel ashamed for your body, for your stomach, for your breasts, for your legs, for your face, for your lips, for your eyes, for your eyebrows, for your head shape. People make you feel ashamed for your donkey Botswana, but they are walking. Brr. Abusive tendencies. So they make you feel ashamed for these inadequacies that you are having, right? So these are personal inadequacies. And what they do is try to manipulate you by shaming you and making you feel bad about your inadequacies. So part of the things that they might do, right, is make threats. Are you a person that likes to threaten? Why are you always threatening people, friend? You can call and tell me, why are you always threatening? 0832888401. 0832888401. Why are you always threatening people? Because those are most abusive tendencies, guys. So why are you always abusing? Small fight. I'm going to break up with you. How last born mentality. Eh? I just don't want this relationship anymore. How? You are making threats. You ngero shonga o na shitopoke. How? Because how? We become immune to your threats also. Because how? So, why are you always making threats? They imply or say outright that they'll fire you or report you for being an unfit parent. For example, now, let's talk about the parent issue where you guys are now fighting for custody, because the men of these days are not like the men of back in the day. I applaud you guys, by the way. Like, kudos to you guys. You guys actually want to be part of your children's lives, which is wonderful. It's amazing. It's great. But why are we threatening each other? So the men nowadays, they also want to be parents, ne? They don't want to babysit when you are going out with your boyfriend. They want equal rights. They want 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. How? Just like that. They want rooms there. They want their kids' clothes there. They want to, like, they want to parent. They don't want to be babysitters for when you are going out on dates. No, they want to be parents, right? And part of the threats that you are throwing as mother of the children is, and please, if they get any okatenda, gents, that this is emotion, this is part of emotional abuse, ne? When a woman is threatening your seeing your children. Yeah, it's a threat. It is emotional abuse, this one. Kucha, I'm going to say that you are an unfit parent. Yeah. I'm going to say that you're an unfit parent. You ask yourself, what makes you an unfit parent? But this person also knows everything about you. So they can use anything. Your inadequacies, most now, your inadequacies. So you winner, you make 3,000. That's the thing that you are feeling insecure about, that you make 3,000. And mother of the children, she makes $17,000. So part of the threat is that I am going to tell the court, or I'm going to tell the magistrate that you are an unfit parent because you don't make enough money and you have nothing. So you are already insecure, right? There we go back to your inadequacies. You are already insecure about the fact that you make 3,000. And now this person is literally blatantly telling you, disrespectfully telling you that they are going to keep your children away from you because you don't make enough money. And then you are saying that you are not emotionally abused. Because you guys must don't want to admit to anything because nothing is for you apparently. Apparently there's just, you guys are just not going through anything. Men are great. It's only women that are emotional. How? So you think that by me saying this to you, I'm not abusive. You think I'm incapable of abuse? You think I'm incapable of emotional abuse? Do you know how many men are suffering at the hands of emotional abuse on a daily basis? Do you know that you guys are going through turmoil? Do you know that maybe, just maybe, if women were not emotionally abusing men, there wouldn't be physical violence. Retaliation. I'm not implying anything, but I'm saying let's look at it. Because if somebody is telling you that you're unfit because you make a measly 3,000 and I make 17,000, you ain't nothing. You ain't nothing. I'm going to keep these kids away from you. They'll never come to your house again. They will never do what they'll never do what? How? You don't even make it to the magistrate. You don't even go. You don't even go because you have been so abused by this woman. You have been so abused that you believe her when she tells you things like you will never see your kids because you only make 3,000. Or even worse, she starts saying things like, now you are having this galite daughter. You love your daughter to bits and pieces. And your mother is light in complexion, but you are dark, right? And maybe you and Mugel, you guys are both dark. And then baby Yako is okay, yellow bone, right? But you know that the possibility of your daughter being light-skinned, it's there. But there is most now like an insecurity that you have within yourself. What if my daughter is not my daughter? What if my child is not my child? And this is an insecurity that you have brought to the forefront, that you have spoken about with your partner when you guys were in good graces. So now, if I am emotionally abusing you, sir, it is me using your insecurities against you, like saying things like oshotanka atanleru no nawo yakwe ningao, implying that she cheated, implying that your daughter is not your daughter. And now you are there advocating, she's my daughter, she's my daughter, I know she's my daughter, she has my eyes, she's my what? But inside there's a little doubt. Right? So now emotional abuse is me telling you in the heat of an argument, friend, that Magdalena is not even your daughter. Wow. That's emotional abuse. That is emotional abuse in a sense that I am making you feel ashamed, angry, any bad emotion towards your inadequacies. I'm using your inadequacies against you to make you feel ashamed. And I can say things like, you can't even father a child because Magdalena is not even yours. Yow. Now you are having insecurities about your penis. You're having insecurities about your performance already. You're having insecurities about your body. And then you're having insecurities about not being the father of this child. And this is what somebody is telling you blatantly to your face. That's emotional abuse, eh? That's emotional abuse. And then somebody also saying things like, yeah, I'm the child's biological mother. Because these are mother cards, right? That some mothers play, especially bitter mothers where the relationship didn't go the way they wanted it to go. And maybe you are stepping away because you can't go through this anymore, can't spend another year of this anymore. So what they do is they do those things of, yeah, you're never going to see my kids again. You're never going to see these kids again. And you're never going to. And 90% of you guys don't even show up to court to fight for your kids because you believe them. But why do you believe them? You believe them because they've abused you for such a long time. You start to believe the things that the abuser has told you. Or even the father that makes more money, or the father that knows the other one's problems. So say now you are a matriarch and you drink a lot. But you don't drink a lot like fall over and you're gone for 6 days things. No, you drink a lot at home after all your bills are paid, after the kids are sorted, everything is fine. And then you can have your 10 bottles of wine. And when you are drinking your wine, you are also just there and you are playing karaoke and you are singing and you're having a good time, you know. And your partner that you are trying to leave decides when you want to leave them that they are also going to, they're going to fight for the custody of the kids, that you are not going to see these kids because you drink a lot. And they have evidence of you drinking, so you will never have these kids. Or you don't have enough money, so the court will automatically give the parent with the most money the children. Because you can prove that they are an unfit mother. And these are things that your abuser tells you. These are emotional abuse. This is emotional abuse, ne? And you find yourself now stuck in this marriage because apparently you are waiting for your kids to grow up. You are waiting for your kids to grow up so that you can live. Because right now you want to stay in their lives, and the only way to stay in their lives is by staying with this person that is breaking you apart every single day. That's what's happening. Woo! That is what's happening. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, I do keep calling back. I don't know. I talk so much and then I face the other side. By the time I turn around, the call is and sorry. So that is making threats. So when somebody is threatening you, they threaten you in subtle ways. Threats are not me going to come and say, I will kill you. Although I will kill you is also a threat. And it's a threat that is serious. Which if you ever leave me, I'll kill you. Like, what is that? If you ever leave me, I'll kill you. How? If you ever leave me, if you leave me, and this is what black people do, guys. Hey, you guys are that threatening to no nganga me bro. Ito vala mwe unona mu. Oshi vayero shoye tishikantumba, bra. So, if I'm going to leave you, oshi vayero shanje nasho, toy nasho. Or, if I'm going to leave you, you are going to go with my manhood also. Which you are never gonna have sex with anybody again ever in your life. Because I promise I'll go with it and you can't prove it. Now every day, every time, because this is psychological, right? The person didn't go to Nganga's nothing. But you think, because you've been abused, right? You believe everything that your abuser is telling you, especially bad things. We are like children. We are like children, especially when we have been in abusive situations, right? We are like children. When children are being mistreated and mishandled in homes, right? The abuser usually threatens and says things like, if you tell anyone, I will kill your parents. If you tell anyone, I'll kill you. If you tell anyone, I will do what? If you tell anyone. So we think that this only applies to children, but truth be told that an abuse victim isn't an abuse victim. So the foundation of abuse is the same. If somebody that you fear tells you something as sinister and cynical and diabolical as, I am going to go with your womb if you leave me, Right? And imagine you are only having junior. You are only having junior. You are 27 years old and you hope to go and find a relationship that is loving someday and have other kids someday, you know? And now this person that has abused you for such a long time tells you something as sinister and diabolical as, I'm going to go with your womb. Are you telling me, the matriarch, this evening, that there is not an ounce or a shred of you that will believe it? You'll believe it. You'll believe that this person is dangerous because this person has proven that they are dangerous towards you, that they are malicious towards you. That's how psychopaths are born. You know? Because you see the intention to cause harm towards you. And that is exactly that you see in their eyes. So when this person says something like, I'm gonna burn your house down, you mean to say you will not believe them? You believe them. Especially if they have shown you that they are capable of mishandling you, that they are capable of mistreating you, that they are capable of hunting you down, my friend. That's why you find people that move completely after abusive relationships have finally ended, they move completely. It's not because apparently, oh, the stars remind me of him or the roses remind me of him. It is because I am scared and I am frightened and I can't exist in freedom in this space because I am afraid. So we believe. So these threats that are made, they are believed. And that is why you find people that are in bad situations and they can't get out. And you ask, like, but the guy is beating me. Why don't you just leave? It's because the guy has shown me that he can beat me up and he can also kill anybody. Yeah? So I'm just trying to preserve everybody that I love. I don't want him to go and come and kill everybody that I love. And I believe it. And that is why we say that therapy is important. Therapy is important so that you can work through these things. Therapy is important so that you can work through the fact that you have to recalibrate, right? And re-understand people. You have to go and relearn that this person was just a meek, fragile person that had an ego problem. So much so that he was just trying to keep you there, or she was trying to keep you there because of her own inadequacies, and she didn't want you to leave, and that is why she was holding you hostage because she's the fragile one. But you have to be in an environment and in a space that can accommodate this and that can accommodate you comprehending all of this. You can't do it alone because you've been abused. You've been abused and there are elements that you believe. And that is why when you enter into your next relationship and you are in a relationship with a whole slay queen mommy, she ends up also being abusive towards you. Why? Because you are giving leeway because you never ever healed from the first abusive encounter. And now you keep asking yourself, it's like I just keep attracting these. Yes, you keep attracting these because you are the same. So when this slay queen of yours shouts, my dear, the person is running over. He even pees a little. Even pees a little. She's just emotionally abusive towards you. But you're in the situation, friend. So, moving on. These are the controls and the shames, right? So, monitoring your whereabouts. Now, you guys, we think that it's cool we think that it's sexy when our partners want to know where we are, what we're doing, and, you know, what time we'll be back. And it is. It's sexy. It's sexy to be asked, "Kucha, oh babe, so, where are you? Where are you going? Like, what time will you be back?" It's like, "Ooh, you care, daddy. You care about me. Oh, you love me." Yeah, that's healthy. But when it comes to share your live location, why? Why must I share my live location? It's because you don't trust me. And then even when I share my live location, you are there in 2 minutes already. To come and do what? I told you that I'm going out with my friends. And now you are here at my gathering with my friends and you are now hovering over me. How? Why? Agutua, no. He's just so unquote. Like, bruh, unquote is going to kill you. Eh? Unquote has trust issues. Unquote. How? Now, every 5 minutes, you must report back. Eh? Right now, I am going to my sister's place. It's not a problem. It's not a problem. But the problem comes in when there is a sense of control about your sister's place. Like, where is your sister's place? What are you doing at your sister's place? What time are you coming back from your sister's place? Send me a location. Send me a picture. Let me video call to see if you are really at your sister's place. Like, hey, about whereabouts. So no, you might have been a liar, because also sometimes people act out the way that you give out. So you are a cheater. You are a person that is just nasty and you bad. And now you wondering why the matriarch is like, bruh, you said you're at your mother's house. I'm going to video call you. Why? Because now you have cosmos now. A little uproar within me. But I always believe that when it gets to that point, when it gets to the point where you want to prove things and you want to see things and you want to keep receipts, I believe that that is the time for you to step away. That is the time for you to get out, because it doesn't get better. It doesn't get better after that. Not unless somebody is really working on understanding and rebuilding the trust and is willing, because it's the willing nature that has to be at play, right? Is willing to tolerate you when you go through a spree of crazy. If the person is not capable of dealing with the monster that they have created, please step away, because we are going to end up hurting each other. Because now I feel like I'm trapped in a jail, because you want to know everything about me. You want me to send you the live location. You want me to send you pictures. You want a video call. You want to be on the phone the whole time. You want to know if there are boys there. You want to know if there are girls there. You want to know everything like that. And it's not even from a sexy side. It's not even from an interested side. It's from a side of, I'm a suspect. I'm a criminal. There was this other joke that I read, or this other video that I checked, and this guy was sitting with people that are talking about the police not doing anything. Which, the police, they are not doing anything, man. They are just sitting around doing nothing. And this guy said, Kucha, my dear, if you want to see that the police is really working, be a criminal. Be a criminal being looked for by the police. You will know that the police is working. You will know that the police is doing their job. The only reason that you think that the police is not doing anything is because you are not the criminal. Be the criminal. You will see. That is why we keep quiet when people say things like, the police is not doing anything. Because if you were the criminal, ask any criminal, and ask the criminal, and ask them if the police is not doing anything. They will tell you the police is working. How? But anyhow. So, it's exactly that. So now you become a detective in your own relationship. Everything is just... Insecurities. Yeah. So you're monitoring the whereabouts. They want to know where you are always, and insist you respond to calls and texts immediately. They might show up at your workplace or school or hang out or chill just to check if you did actually go to school, if you did actually go to work, if you did actually go to your sister's bridal shower, if you did in fact go to that all girls party. They are showing up just to see if you are really there. And the worst part is that they don't even become ashamed when you are really there. They find something else. Because now the whole time you're not replying to texts and you're not replying to calls because you are busy. Then they find you on your phone. that time. And they're like, yeah, so you're just talking to other people. They find a new thing. They find a new thing. Bro, they find a new thing to be angry about. So now they want to divert the fact that they came to an uninvited place. They came to a place like a stalker, right? They want to redirect it to, so you have your phone in your hand, but you're just ignoring my calls. You're not, you're ignoring my texts. You're like, ow. Psycho alert. And then the next thing is spying on you digitally. So this is the person that insists that you must have that online thing when you are on WhatsApp. If you don't have it on, eh, it's a problem in the relationship. They also want to know when you have read a message. So you must have your blue tick on. If you don't have that on, then it is a problem in the relationship. But Mina, I also want to know, right? You people that switch that online thing off, why do you have people that you hate in your phone books? Because if it's people that you love and want to talk to all the time and people that are mature and understanding, then you wouldn't have to be hiding it. You wouldn't have to be hiding if you are online or not online. Not unless you are some, I don't know, CIA. And also, these gray ticks. You guys don't, why don't you want to blue tick? Because if you are ignoring me, then I'll know that you are ignoring me most. So, if you leave the blue tick on, then I can most just stop bothering you instantly. Because I can see that you read my message and then you don't feel like replying, you don't want to reply, or you are busy, or you are busy to respond, but you are not busy to read, then I'll understand. So now you people, like, we are living in such abusive times, right? That it's, if we can decipher everything as, ill intentions. Anything. We can decipher anything. I don't understand. Why don't you want to show on WhatsApp that you are online? What are you doing online that requires you to be invisible? Because everybody that is in your phone book is somebody that has your number intentionally. Somebody that has your number intentionally, meaning you gave it to them or you got their numbers. It's all numbers that are saved. So who do you hate in your phone book? And why are we not talking about that? Why are we not talking about the fact that you are a person that doesn't like everyone in your phone book? It's food for thought. I'm not saying that you are wrong. Maybe you might have a crazy boyfriend that goes on about, you are online and you didn't talk to me. Maybe it's irritating you. Yeah, maybe that's the answer. And now all of us just get gray ticked because you're going through things. Understandable. Maybe you want to gaslight all of us. Maybe you just want to go and read through our things and go through our status without being viewed as somebody that viewed our status. But I don't understand, like, why do you want to be a person that's in the shadow? Like, are you an ex-boyfriend? I'm asking. So yeah, that is now the spying on you digitally. So this person is there checking your online. This person is checking your blue ticks. And this person is checking your status. And this person is checking if you have location or you guys share live locations or whatever. Hey, this person is checking where you are. This person is checking who is commenting on all your pictures. The person is checking who is hearting all your pictures on social media. The person is checking who you go and talk to. And This is something that I'm ashamed to say, ne? I've been there, guys. Spying digitally, oh, I've been there. Spied on ex-girlfriends to check what you saw in her. But even though she's not here anymore in the position, I still want to know what you saw there. Hey, those are most things to just go and mess with your own psyche, to go and mess with your own mind. But these are things that feed into your inadequacies, right? Because secretly inside there, you don't feel worthy and you don't feel loved and you don't feel like you are worth the love and worth the time and worth anything. And that is why you go and want to outshine exes. Did you know that the current girlfriend or the current boyfriend, eh? Okay, with guys, I'm not really too sure because I think that guys are very nonchalant. If anything, I think that guys would rather pretend that when they met you, you were a virgin and nobody has ever touched you than actually go into the rabbit hole of figuring out about exes and all of that. But with women, I've noticed that many of us feel inadequate as women. We feel insecure. We feel we are not secure within ourselves. And that is why the current girlfriend always knows the ex-girlfriend. The ex-girlfriend doesn't know the current girlfriend because she doesn't care. But the current girlfriend knows the ex-girlfriend and maybe even knows all the ex-girlfriends. Maybe even knows your mother's name. Maybe knows your sister's, knows everything about you. And it's not because she got information for Boothang. It is because she just went to pry and to spy and to search through your life just to see if he outdid himself, just to see if she's better than the past one. Most of them tell themselves that they are better. But low-key inside, they don't feel like they are better. Even if they have 20 PhDs and they've got Nicki Minaj's bum bum and a good chest and who's Bill Gates kind of money, she still feels like she's inadequate. She's just, it's a difficult one. But that's why they go and spy. Women spy. That is why when women enter into relationships with married men and they get caught and then they say, I didn't know. I strongly believe that they are lying because the first thing we do is we vet. The first thing we do is we research. That's why we know when you are cheating. We know when this is somebody that is married, we know when there's an off button and an off thing because our intuition game is deep. We know. And also our detective game is very, very, very strong. We can find anything that we want. We just have to want to find it. We'll look for it. We'll find it. It's just that you that thinks that there's nothing in your phone. And then I find something. You didn't even know it was there. Hehe. That's us for you. So, and the next one. So what we have said under control and shame is like they make threats. They monitor your whereabouts. Monitor. And I'm not talking about something cute. I'm not talking about something cute like your boo thing asking, oh, where are you? Like, ah, no, I'm at the mall. Then he's like, oh yeah, I needed you to pass by Clicks or Walton's to go and get something. It's not like that. It's that thing of he already knows that you are at Clicks. And then he'll ask you where you are to see if you are a liar. And you are most probably walking to Wimpy already. So you are like, Wimpy. And then he's like, yeah. But are you sure you are really at Wimpy? Because he can see you in Checkers or he can see you in Clicks, right? And you're like, yeah, I'm at Wimpy. But you, in your mind, you're like, because I'm going to go and sit now at Wimpy and Wimpy's next to Checkers. So, I'm going to sit there. Yeah, because they are monitoring you. It's like they become so obsessed with you. Like, oh, emotionally abusive people are deep. Emotionally abusive people become obsessed with you. And I don't understand why they become obsessed with you when they say that you are trash. They say that you are nothing, you are worth nothing, but the way you are hovering over this nothing. Yeah, the way you like this nothing. The way you are keeping, the way you are trying to control this nothing. Makes me believe that this nothing is worth something, man. Because you are banking work. You are dodging work to come and check my whereabouts to make sure that I'm really at work also. How? You are going above and beyond for a nothing like that. Like, hey, you guys do a lot for nothings, ne? For people that are not worth anything apparently. Yeah, ne? And then we move on, ladies and gentlemen, to gaslighting. Gaslighting is something that we have covered intensely over the years. Gaslighting someone, okay, someone abusing you and somebody, okay, someone abusing you may deny that specific event, argument, or agreement ever happened. Now imagine, right, somebody gaslighting you, somebody making, telling you, Kuja, next week Friday, we are going out, you must just dress up already, and you must just, by 4:30, you must be home, dress up, and by 5:30, when I'm home, I will just come and pick you up, I'll just come into the house and pick you up, and you are already dressed. And this is like a week in advance, right? And then on Tuesday, they remind you again, and then on Wednesday, they remind you, and then Friday, 4:30, because also, if you are not dressed, they would also get angry most. So you comply. So, Friday, they come back from the office. You are dressed and dolled up and everything. And then they say that they never told you to get dressed up and anything. They never told you that you guys are going anywhere. They never said anything like that. Like, they even asked like, oh, are you okay? Like, I didn't say that we are going anywhere. Like, and the worst part is that things are said in person. So you don't have a text that says that this is what you said. You don't have a receipt, right? But also every single time you are in a situation with somebody where you feel the need to keep evidence of what they have said, to keep receipts of the promises, the agreements, the arrangements that they make, then that shows already that you are not in a position, you're not in a place where you're supposed to be. That's a bad place where you're at. Because that means this person doesn't keep their word. That means this person's a liar. That means this person is gaslighting you. Gaslighting is so dangerous, right? Because it can make you go crazy. Because imagine somebody telling you 3 times, 1 week in advance, ne, to get ready on Friday at 4:30, take off from work, what, and then they come back home and you are dressed to kill, bro. You got a wig done. You have a whole face beat, Hannah Nangula vibes. You get a whole face beat, lashes, and unless you are dolled up because you are told that you are going to Stina Hoon's place, Marigold. You are told that that's where you guys are going. And this person, eh, is watching TV, comes home, watches TV, my dear, and dresses in a trunky, and they are telling you, Kucha, it's something that you made up, bruh. Like, you know, but why would I make this up? I was like, I don't know. Maybe you are crazy. But me, I know I didn't say it. Like, how? Is that not onkwengu? Onkwengu de kutegereranga. So that's why gaslighting is the worst. So this tactic can leave you questioning your own memory and not to mention your mental health and well-being. Because now you're asking yourself, did I just lie to myself a week in advance, waste money, get dolled up and dressed up, and this person can't, didn't tell me? Is that like, you guys are going to go crazy, bro. Like, no. Then you ask yourself, like, so he really didn't say it? Like, no. But you look nice. Ha. Oh, my God. That's gaslighting. True. Or imagine this, right? This person cheats on you. And then you get home and literally the guy that she's cheating on you with, right? Just walks out of the door when you are coming in. Walks out. And she's coming from the room fully naked, right? And you are like, why the hell are you cheating on me? You start going on, Moss. And then she tells you, like, I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. There was a guy just here right now. No, there was no guy here. Where? Show me. Show me where the guy is. Let's go and check at the gate. And then this guy even points at the guy most probably passing by the gate. There that guy is. And then she's like, I've never seen that man in my life. But you know, man. Kucha, when you came in, you saw the guy, you know. But she says, like, no. Why would I? Like, no. With a straight face. And then she says, like, maybe you're going crazy, my dear. Onkwenguya, that you're there? How? My dear. So that's gaslighting, ladies and gentlemen. But before that, ladies and gentlemen, let's take a quick breather. I hope you guys are fully attentive and fully listening because, whoa, guys, whoa. Emotional abuse, the more we talk about it, ne, I feel like the more deeper it actually is than the surface. And I feel like I'm so proud of myself, really, for thinking about this topic because I'm just so happy about this. To be honest, I feel like yane.
Mukongolele kwa tuko maikuto amina apiri kwa mavchaziva. Muvere kusema app atoloka sinchav kamso zakale liferire. Mise kunani zencha. Kuzwa kwa kushimba lifera zalivuka kuya kwa lifasi la lifera fama kepe. Muvone maikuto amancha a imba app. Mwikutwe kulibusie mbasa antoye mwietuna. Mi kole sfera fama kepe, marizo hola mina. Hamuvone, imba encha, niye encha farizwe, ikopanya mifuta ya lifera matasa ep ilini, kukopanya naha, ni kuhasa nyali nzwila mlimu. Zengwi, zefu mani hama sfera sesfa ep ya imba, ize tatama. Elsin, ehangano, oshiherero, omaemuriro, Catholic, smane kakarunga, Africans, ni zengwi zengata. Mololi zeze kacheno, haiva mtavira kulisfera sa kereke ya mina, si eke zwefa mkoloko walifera za imba, fa 081-2358-063, kapa mlumere imele kwa digital@omalighty.com. Muzive ni kufumana imba kacheno, mkona kufumana fa App Store ni Google Play Store.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Ladies and gentlemen, we are doing the most of this lovely evening. And the number in studio is 083-288-401 in case you would like to buzz us, in case you'd like to call in case you would like to talk about your emotionally abusive encounter experience or what you have learned so far or the things that you don't intend to do to other people or the things that you won't tolerate or the boundaries that you're going to set or putting aside all these other emotions that your like ha 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 be mindful of your experiences. Be mindful of what you say, your words. Maybe you want to talk about that. You guys can always call us in. But if you guys are just here for the show and you are really learning and you just want to listen tonight, because you are going to give your feedback tomorrow when we round off our emotionally abusive week, right? Then that is absolutely perfectly fine. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are having a few glitches with Olavio, download the app, go into Google Play Store, and then you just type in Eagle FM, and you just download it. It even gives notifications. Brr, it gives notifications of what show is on at this time, what is happening, it is a beautiful app to have. That's how I keep track. That's how I go inside the minds of my colleagues, which are, what is Loise doing? What is Tete Mike doing? What is Tete Kaoluma talking about? That is exactly what I do, because I have got the app on my phone. So, ladies and gentlemen, we were talking about gaslighting, and we are basically running down a few signs and symptoms and the works around emotional abuse. We have been talking for the past couple of days about emotional abuse, and we are running through this topic as slowly as humanly possible, because I believe that many of us are emotionally abusive people. Many of us have been emotionally abused. Many of us are sitting in situations where we can't really categorize, we can't really explain that it is happening. And I just want to tell you that I believe you. I believe that you're suffering. I know that you're suffering. I'm here, ne? I believe you. I believe everything that this person has done to you. I believe you. If you just wanted somebody out there to validify what you have been feeling, I'm here for it. You know, I believe you. I know it is bad, and it is bad, and we see through it. Okay. We see through it. It is what it is. And we are going through it in order for us to identify the things that have happened to us, the things that we do to others, and maybe, right? This is the chance that we can have for liberation. Liberation doesn't look the same on every person. Sometimes liberation is knowing, because when you know, right, you can pinpoint it. So when this person tells you something like, yeah, I didn't tell you to get all dressed up, and I didn't tell you we are going to Marigold, I didn't tell you any of this, you can literally, because you know what they're doing. Because first of all, when they were gaslighting you and you didn't know that it is a form of emotional abuse and torture, you didn't know. So what you used to do was go and cry, go and vent, start an argument, go back and forth, look for receipts, go crazy. Crazy, right? And then they would now have that leeway to call somebody and say, kucha, oweteko, the way she's acting, I can't share kucha, what's wrong with her? And then people think, publicly embarrassing you, right? These people think that you're just going crazy, you're losing your mind, but the person did tell you this, right? This is your opportunity. This is your opportunity to know that I know what they did. I know what they're doing. And when you know what they're doing, it gives you liberation. The liberation is that even when something like this happens, right, you've got a backup plan. The day that they decide that they're gonna gaslight you, you can either choose to be vindictive, or you can choose to completely go against it, because what they are depending on is your reaction. Your reaction to the gaslighting, right? That is what they depend on. They know that if they make you question your mental well-being and your mental health and your mental, right? You're going to go on about it. But since you're the matriarch's person, you know that since you're already dolled up, friend, since you're already dolled up, you've got the app on your phone for a car to come and pick you up right here, or you've got the car keys, and it's only 5:30. How about, instead of getting angry at this person that's pretending, right, to not be the one that has told you that you guys are going out, right? Instead of that, how about you go out anyway? You don't have to go to anything fancy, my dear. Just as long as you are outside. With your dolled up self, go and sit in Zoo Park for 10 minutes. How? You went outside. Go and take a picture with the guys that take pictures and print them out. How? Then the person is going to ask, so where are you going? And then you're like, well, since you didn't actually make this date, I feel like maybe I just told myself that I actually wanted to go out today and I'm going. Okay, so bye. You can just heat up the food from yesterday, ne? Shuetene, bye. Then you go and you go and sit in Zoo Park for a few minutes. You don't have to have all the money in the world. You can even go to the shop, darling. In your dolled up self, you can go to the shop. You can go and break a few heads with your dolled up self. Hey, you went and got a haircut. This girl told you that we are going to marry gold and we are going to white and we are going to, you got a haircut and you even bought a shirt and you bought a nice trouser. Then she says that, I mean, I didn't tell you that, my dear. Then you say, okay, no problem. On their pay fare. Where are you going? No, no, no. I'm just going to meet up with Shafa. All right. Bye. Maybe my body was also just giving me kucha. I want to go out, man. Like, it's been long. Bye. I'll see you a little later. Just make sure you have your own keys, man. Yeah. I'll see you a little later. Then you go. You go outside because this is most now a whole reversal. You're not trying to hurt their feelings. You're not trying to break them. You're not trying to do anything towards them because you don't want to cross the line between abused and abuser. You don't want to cross that line. You don't want to blur those lines because there's no coming back for you when you cross those lines. You have to maintain your integrity. You have to maintain your dignity. You have to maintain your ethics. You have to maintain your morality. So what you need to do is go out anyways. You go out anyways. So this now leaves the person to want to continue the gaslighting, but they are incapable of continuing the gaslighting because you counter the gaslighting with saying that, oh, maybe you didn't say that, you know? Instead of getting angry about it, you say, oh, maybe you didn't say that. Maybe I just wanted to go out better. Like, but no problem. I'll go out anyways. Okay, I'll see you later. So now this person is going to be blowing up your phone because they have no idea what to do with that kind of reaction, Moss. They don't know what to do with it because they were counting on a fight. They were counting on making you look crazy. They were counting on you being gaslit. And now you are not being gaslit anymore. You are doing your own things and you are all of a sudden just an individual and you are having fun and you are okay. Like what? You are okay? You survived? Yeah. Yeah. That's how you go about it. That's how you go about it. You go out anyways. If the person has done something like as bad as gaslighting you, which are there was nobody here. Then you say, yeah, like, you know what? I didn't see anybody. So how was your day? How? Then even when the person goes to sleep, right? They're sleeping with one eye open because they have no idea what you are thinking. Because they know the person was there. It's like, maybe it's gaslighting them back, but they don't know what you are thinking. Maybe this might be cuckoo for Cocoa Pops clock and you are flipping the scripts. So I'm just saying, or you can leave. Leaving is also always okay. Leave. All right. The next one is making all the decisions. This might involve choosing a joint bank account and canceling doctor's appointments. They may insist you withdraw from school or resign from work or do so on your behalf. So imagine somebody just goes and cancels your doctor's appointment. Nah, she's not coming anymore. Without discussing it with you. So you are going to discuss your fertility things. You are going to discuss your what things with the doctor. And then this person just cancels your appointment. So you go and rock up there and this person has canceled. No, your husband canceled your appointment. Bruh, like, without discussing it with you because they make all the decisions. They want you to resign from work. Like, why? Why am I resigning from work? I like my work. Why should I resign? Like, yeah, because I just want you to be a stay-at-home husband. How? I want to be a stay-at-home husband. Like, I like being a going-to-work husband. Like, yeah, stay-at-home. So they make all the decisions. And that's also part of the part of these things. It all goes together. So the next one is controlling your assets and finances. Or, wait a minute, let's rephrase that. Controlling your access to finances. So they control the money. It always gets to this point. They control the money because when they control the money, right? Then they have a stronger hold of you. And this is usually when financial abuse comes in. So there is now the threshold where we start with emotional abuse, and emotional abuse leaps into the other things. It fosters or it manifests the other forms of abuse, right? So this is like our entry level abuse. This is what we start with. We start with emotional abuse first before we jump into financial abuse. Because if you look at this person, if we look at everything that this person has been through and we get to controlling your access to finances, right? One, they make all the decisions. Two, they are gaslighting you. Three, they are spying on you digitally. Four, they are monitoring your whereabouts. They are making threats. They are pushing your buttons. They are putting you down, putting your interest down. They are belittling your accomplishments. They are insulting your appearance. They are joking, but they are not joking. They are dismissing your every whim. They are publicly humiliating you. They are patronizing you. They are yelling and screaming and swearing. They are character assassinating you. They are name calling you. And then they are isolating you. All of these things. You look at all of these things, right? And then, are you not afraid of this person already? You are afraid of this person. You are afraid of this person, and then they start with controlling your access to finances. Now, you might be thinking like, yeah, but I make my own money. I make my own money. I'm independent in terms of my finances. So how do they control my access to finances? One, they can take your ATM card. They can take your ATM card, and you are like, yeah, but I've got the banking app. But when things are good within the relationship, right? There are things that we start giving each other, like our access to our money, our access to our time, our access to our body, our access. And then there are some people that have full access of everything. That means this person has full access of your F&B app. Full access. You people are being told every day by FNB here at Eagle FM. Kucha, guys, don't give OTP. But sometimes the scammer lives inside your house. Sometimes the scammer is the person that you share the bed with. So this person starts having access to your finances, right? And they start making decisions. So now you make your six figures or whatever, and this person starts controlling and making the decisions, right? So they start telling you things like, no, put this money here and do this with this money and do this with this money. But it's just a calculated thing to make sure that by the 20th, you are absolutely on zero. So by the 20th, if you are absolutely on zero after paying everything, then who's supposed to get you to work? Them. That means they make all the decisions. Then they can start telling you things like, yeah, but this job also. Yeah, that's how you end up resigning, but this job also. And this also, those making of all the decisions, guys, ne? If you look at the church, it's exactly the same. At the hallelujah churches, right? Like, those churches, like every form of abuse that we have spoken about, right? Is there. Because they start making all the decisions, because you start taking all the decisions to papa, to mama. You start taking all the decisions to church. There's a post at our work, and do you think, oh, I really want this promotion? Should I apply for it? And then this person has the power to say that, no, that is not the job for you, my sister. That is not the job for you. The spirit is giving me that you have something better in the horizon. So don't even apply. So they make all the decisions, right? And then They start with that, give to the church, and then they start saying things like, because you are a registered nurse or you are a doctor or whatever. So they start saying things like, yeah, because if you are a doctor, I believe that your finances must be run by the church and they might not even be running your day-to-day finances, right? But they might be instigating that you give your whole entire salary to the church, and then the church will sort you out, or God will sort you out. And basically now you have no control over your finances. You have no access to finances because all the finances, you have taken them there. Let's just look out for everything, right? They keep bank accounts in their name and make you ask for money. You see? So they put all the, your husband transfers your whole entire salary onto his own account. And then you have to be asking, from your own money. Yeah, that's what happens. And it happens. And we're not even laughing about it because it's so serious, because it does happen. You find the guy that just never has money, and his wife is apparently just running the household with that money, and Oshiri, the household that's being run with that money, is a person that doesn't even have $20 for a beer. Is a person that doesn't have even anything. He has to go and ask his wife for everything. And that is what we're talking about. Emotional abuse, controlling your access to finances. And then we move on to emotional blackmail. Someone using this tactic will attempt to get you to do things by manipulating your feelings. They might use tricky questions to test you, take on the role of victim, and try to guilt trip you. So they ask you questions like, so who was your first love? Now you guys are in good spirits. You guys are talking. You guys are sitting curled up in a fetus position, and you're just there with her baby. And who was your first love? And you're like, oh yeah, it was a Green Wilma Tongo. And this person just flips the script, and then they're like, okay, so that person is your first love. That means I'm inadequate here. And you're like, no, I don't mean that. I thought you were just asking about first person that I've ever loved. So you don't, and this person's like, so you don't love me and you are just using me? Like, no, I didn't mean that, my dear. Then it goes deep. Then all of a sudden you are feeling bad for ever having had a first boyfriend in your life. You are apologizing, and this person is like, yeah, the only thing that would make me feel better is maybe just 2000. Ha. Then you give the 2000, my dear, because the person is just angry the whole time and you just want peace. They are being manipulated into giving people money. And then the next one is lecturing you constantly. After you make a mistake, no matter how minor, they catalog all of your errors with a long monogram. So every single thing that you have done wrong in your whole entire life. So we are not talking about wrong things. Say, and then today you are probably driving, and then you missed a red robot or something like that. And this person now wants to lecture you, right? And they've been looking for a way, or they've been waiting for you to do something wrong, to mess up in one way or another. So now the issue is the red robot that you crossed. Then this person starts talking about every single time that you have ever done anything wrong, all of a sudden, just in that one conversation. Like, so you are passing red robots now. It's like you have no care for any authority. Even the other day when I told you not to go to Cynthia's house and you went anyways, as if my emotions are not important. And even the other day when you opened the gate and the dog ran out, as if you don't know that dog might get bumped. And that other day, and they bring up everything, my dear, they lecture and they lecture. They describe all the ways you have fallen short and make it clear they consider you beneath them. Yay. Emotional abuser. And the next one is giving a direct orders from, I don't care what happened. You stay here until I get that client back. So now that could be with your boss, Moss, or with your superior at work. And you're telling the person that, no, this client quit the account, right? This client quit the account, and because they are emotionally abusive, they say things like, I don't care what happened. You stay here at work until you get that client back. And keep in mind, if this person has already been emotionally abusing you, because you are thinking like, me, I'll not stay there. But you are not emotionally abused. That's why you will not stay there. But a person that has been abused, right? You will stay there. It's just the same way as your parent telling you, you sit there and you think about what you've done. You will sit. You will sit. Why? Because authority. You will sit. It is the same thing. So, for instance, giving you direct orders like, stop taking the pill. Like, you must stop. Stop taking the pill. Stop being on contraceptives. Like, stop killing my kids. You're like, how? It's not even kids. It's just semen. Like, so you must not be on birth control. They give direct orders. They don't ask. They don't discuss. They don't talk about it. They don't even ask why you feel the need to be on birth control. They don't care about what you think and what you're feeling. They give you direct orders. That's it. Hey, emotional abuser. Go and cook now. How? You are sitting here doing your school things. Go and cook. How? All right. And the next one is having frequent outbursts. They told you to cancel the outing with your friends or put the car in the garage, but you didn't. So they become enraged, angrily shouting about how inconsiderate and how uncooperative you are, and. So we go from 0 to 100 real quick in a blink of an eye. This person was at 0 now. And then now they're at 100, but it's because of something as simple as that. It's just an, like, you might not have, it's most probably they just come into the house and then they just decide like, so you just decided 2 months ago that you're going to go out with Cynthia, even though I told you not to go out with Cynthia. Like, how? 2 months ago, like, it's just an outburst, like, or if I carry now, I'm on saying, "Hey, kucha." And on top of what she mentioned happening 2 months ago, like it happened yesterday, like right now, nengongin. Yeah, those outbursts like that, like, oh, on my hair, like what? Oh, okay. I didn't know that people can just be aggravated for nothing. But anyhow, because you are most now a punching bag, so even if they had a bad day today, they'll just come and then remember something that you did 6 years ago. So 6 years ago, you just decided really that you are not going to respond to my text. You're like, how? Like what? What text? 6 years ago when I was still making on you. So why didn't you want me then? And why do you want me now? Are you using me now? How am I using you? Hey, it becomes a thing. All right. And and the next one is, they say they don't know how to do something, hoping you'll simply do it yourself instead of taking the time to explain it. So they fake, right? Not knowing how to do things. So that you can just do it yourself and then you don't help, they don't help you with anything. So you are having a whole boyfriend that drives a car every day and you now want to buy your own car because you're kind of tired of the person deciding when to pick you up, when not to pick you up. You are just tired and you want a car and you want to drive. And this person, you ask them to teach you how to drive and then they tell you something like, I don't know how to teach. Like, what do you mean you don't know how to? I don't know how to teach somebody how to drive. So maybe you must just learn on your own because they don't want to help. They don't want to help you. They don't want you to progress. They don't want any of that. They don't want you to be independent from them. So they just pretend like they can't do things. And it doesn't make sense to you. Like, what do you mean you don't know how to teach how to drive? We can just sit in the car. Then you tell me that this is the petrol. This is the clutch. This is the brakes. Then you just tell me. You know, the same way you taught me how to change a tire, but you don't know how to teach how to drive. I don't know how to drive. I don't know how to teach how to drive. Those are things that they say. So they fake helplessness. And, or they are constantly helpless. They are helpless in everything that benefits you. They don't want to help you with your assignment. They don't want to help you with your interview. They don't want to help you with work. They don't want to help you in anything that, screams progress for you. They want you to be helping and pouring into their cups, but they never do anything for you. They, every single time that they do something for you, it has to be something that you forced and it's just like, yeah. And they don't even do it with a clean heart. So it's one of those, even when they are helping you do it, even when they are helping you, or even when you tell them to wash the dishes, they will break dishes. They'll break a few cups so that you don't have to ask them again because they don't want to do it. All right. And the next one is unpredictability. They explode for no clear reason, then suddenly shower you with affection. Hey, guys. Yeah, they are angry. And then they come back to you and say that, yeah, but you know, even though you're bad, you know that you are the love of my life and there's no other person that is better than this. You're like, how? What is this? I thought we are angry. I thought with the way you were angry, I thought you were going to be angry at least for 2 days. Now you are flipping this. How? Those are signs of emotional abuse, guys. These are signs. They are real signs. And I know that these signs, they don't, for people that have never experienced it, they don't seem realistic. They don't seem like they could ever happen. But I'm telling you, they do. Unpredictability. Like, you don't know if the person is going to come in happy or sad or angry. You don't know if the person is going to come and shout at you or they are going to come and be loving towards you. You don't know. You don't know. You can't determine with the way they are walking from there. You know, with normal people, you can predict which I that they get him a mood than Anna, you know, because you know, maybe he's not whistling the way he whistles usually. You can determine which I that they get him a mood than Anna. You know what? Let me go and make him a cup before he gets into the house, because you can predict his mood. You can predict his being. But with emotionally abusive people, you can't predict. Because they might be walking like a person that is perfectly fine and getting to the car and getting to the house and shoot everybody up. That's how bad it is. Or maybe their mood shifts from upbeat to dark and angry with little warning. You guys were dancing and shaking and you guys were happy now. And then the person just decides that, like, yeah, my JJ dang against Dom, ne? Like how? Van waar afkomt het? Je denkt ik is dom, je. Zo je denkt die hele tijd, ne. Wat ik hier zo is, ne. Ik is net je speel, shandy of wat. How? Like, what is that? That is unpredictable behavior because I thought we were happy. I thought we were dancing. I thought we are eating nice food. I thought. And that is enough to set you off, because living with or being in a relationship with somebody that is unpredictable, right, is absolutely mind-wrecking. Now you are caused, you later on you have anxiety disorder because you're constantly on a panic. It's like having a boss that is unpredictable. Where when your boss is walking from the gate, you don't know if she's happy or she's sad. And when she comes in, she's just, you don't know. But at least with a predictable boss, you can see if they are calling you from the gate, you know that they are happy. If they are walking in with the things themselves, you know that they are not feeling all that. If you know that, if they say like this, then you know, okay, so today is not a good day for boss dearest. Let's tread carefully. Let's just go and make her tea or something like that. But with an emotionally abusive person, part of their traits is unpredictability. You can't predict their mood. They can just go dark now. And the next one is walking out. A partner or parent might leave a social event suddenly, so you have no way home. A supervisor might exit during a discussion about your assignment. So your questions remain unresolved. So if it is within a romantic context, right, it is you guys have an argument and they decide that they're not coming home. You can't find them. You call them. They are not picking up. They just walk out. They just walk out. And you now are left with so many questions and you are worried and what. But they just do this. They walk out just to mess with you, because they know that the whole night you'll be looking outside for the car light, or you'll be looking outside. If somebody's walking in, you'll be looking outside, right? And that is what they want. That emotional restlessness. That's what they want. And then last but not least, of control and shame, the category of control and shame, or the chapter of control and shame, last but not least, is stonewalling you. During a disagreement or conflict, they shut down, refusing to respond to your attempts to communicate. I don't want to talk anymore. Huh. You're like, yeah, but we were still discussing. Like, I don't know. What do you guys talk about with Samantha? I don't want to talk about it. What? Like, you can't just decide when you want to talk about something and when you don't want to talk about something. I already said that I'm not going to talk about this. So maybe you can talk to yourself, but personally for me, I'm done. I'm done talking about this. That's stonewalling, guys. Like, it leaves you in a limbo. It like the person doesn't want to communicate anymore. The person doesn't want to attempt to resolve nothing. They don't want to talk about it, nothing. They don't even give you a sign, Kucha. I don't feel well, or I don't feel like talking about this right now. Maybe we can revisit and rediscuss this tomorrow, or we make arrangements to talk about it tomorrow. They don't do that. They just, you know what? Can this conversation stop? Stop talking about it, okay? Like, I don't want to talk about it anymore. Like, I don't want. And then you keep talking and talking and talking, and the person just ignores you. That is stonewalling, guys. So later on, you're just talking to yourself. So, my beloveds, if you guys are out there crying, don't cry. Don't cry. Yeah? At least we know. At least we know what is there, what is not there. At least we know, Kucha, yo. People, they are going through the motions. They are going through the things. Yo. It is what it is. Yo. Dit is wat dit is. Yo. Yeah, it is exactly like that. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have officially come to the end of our program this evening. It's officially 12 o'clock and we have officially come to the end of our program. I bid you guys farewell. I love you guys forever and a day. You guys are definitely important to me and I wish to see you soon. And that is tomorrow when we round off our conversation and we finally say goodbye to emotional abuse with understanding and the know-how of what happens when we go in that kind of loop. It is not what we want, but it's not a situation that anybody asked to be in. But at least, right, we have an upper hand because we at least know that it's happening. And we at least know that it's out here. And we at least know that somewhere, somehow, we can survive. We can survive. We can learn to live past it and we can heal. We can heal. We can heal. We can heal. And when we do heal, let us take note of the fact that we never want to be in those situations ever again. From Be the Matriarch, I'm sending you love and light. I'm sending you healing. I'm sending you compassion. I'm sending you a shoulder to cry on and I'm sending you a hug. I'm sending you no judgment. I'm sending you no criticism. Whether you are in the perpetrator's seat, whether you are in the victim's seat, we are all at this table together because we are all willing to learn. We are all willing to understand. And we are all willing to back ourselves up into a corner where we can finally release the anger, release the pain, and change. I love you. Au revoir.